Hello, and welcome to the History of the Early Church, Episode 2, Pentecost to Paul. 30 AD. After spending 40 days with his 11 disciples, the risen Lord Jesus Christ was taken up to heaven. The 11 apostles then left Mount Olivet and returned to the upper room in Jerusalem as they had been instructed. There they joined with the 70 apostles, the Virgin Mary, the other holy women who had followed Christ, and his relatives. According to Luke, these earliest members of the church constituted about 120 men and women. Of the apostles, Peter emerges here as the leader, taking the initiative to reconstitute the 12 apostles, so that they may be ready to evangelize the 12 tribes of Israel, linking the Old to the New Covenant. While Luke names all 12 original apostles, and many of the other 70 apostles, only a handful received detailed treatment. Peter, the first among the 12, John, son of Zebedee, the beloved, James, the brother of Jesus, and later, Paul of Tarsus, especially. After 10 days of unified prayer and devotion, the Feast of First Fruits, or Pentecost, arrived. And it was on that day that the first fruits of the gospel would be reborn. The Holy Spirit descended upon the church, giving them the ability to speak in tongues. The first mission of the church had begun. Jerusalem on that day was filled not only with Jews from the land of Israel, but diaspora Jews and converts to Judaism from all over the world. The church was enabled by the Holy Spirit to speak to them all in their native languages. This confounded many of the Jews who heard this, some even saying the apostles were drunk. Peter once again stepped up as the leader. He addressed his fellow Jews and called them to remember the prophecies of the Old Testament, and stated how Jesus had fulfilled them as the risen Christ. In response, some 3,000 Jews were brought into the church, and more would soon follow on a daily basis. So what was it like in the earliest days of the church? All these early Christians were observant Jews, continuing to meet in the synagogues, follow the daily prayers, and go to the temple. When new believers became part of the church, they were initiated by a threefold process. First, they were called to repentance. Then, baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then finally, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, what is known in the West today as the Sacrament of Confirmation, and in the East as the Mystery of Chrismation. The new believers were also instructed in all the doctrines Christ had passed on to his apostles. The Church's life centered on prayer, the Eucharist, the liturgy, the Scriptures, the Great Commission, and the hope of the resurrection in God's new creation. The concern for the poor, neglected, sick, and demonically possessed remained paramount. The apostles worked many miracles in the name of Christ. Even Peter's shadow was enough to heal a person, an early example of God working through physical means, a common theme we shall see in early Christianity. The leadership was naturally in the hands of the apostles, and in particular the original 12 and James, Christ's brother. After that were the rest of the 70 apostles, and underneath them were the first deacons of the church, 7 in total, who received the laying on of hands from the apostles, an important Christian ritual where one is granted ecclesiastical authority. Deacons assisted the apostles in running the day-to-day affairs of the church. Unity was the feeling of the day, a state the church will always be striving to maintain, as we shall see. The earliest difficulties to this unity were the divisions between the Hebrews, or Jews from the land of Israel, and the Hellenists, or Jews and converts to Judaism from the Hellenistic or Greek diaspora. This is ultimately what prompted the apostles to establish the diaconate. In the earliest days, all the possessions of the Christians were held in common as the church's property, so there might be no poor among the community. The wealthy converts laid their property and profit at the feet of the apostles, submitting to their authority. This idyllic state did have one rather infamous hiccup. In Luke's Acts of the Apostles, he records an incident where a wealthy Christian couple named Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of property, but only gave part of the profit to the church. Peter harshly confronted them, stating how they had lied to the church and the Holy Spirit, after which they dropped dead. Full persecution of the church by her fellow Jews, however, was soon to come. It broke out after 3 culminating events. First, Peter and John, the son of Zebedee, as good Jews, went to the temple for the daily prayers. It was there Peter healed a crippled man in the name of Jesus Christ. The Jews there were amazed as well, and Peter once again called them to repent and be received into the church. Once again, many thousands of Jews believed. Peter and John, though, found themselves being arrested by the authorities. While standing before the Jerusalem authorities, Peter boldly proclaimed the name of Jesus Christ. Despite threats, Peter and John bravely continued their mission. Yet, the Jerusalem authorities were eventually no longer content to simply threaten the growing church, but they went so far as to have all the apostles imprisoned. However, when the Jerusalem authorities sent for the apostles to stand before their council, they found the prison cell empty, and the apostles were once again preaching in the temple. According to Luke, an angel of God had been sent to free them. Once again, the apostles were led before the authorities who scorned them, but the apostles remained steadfast in their commitment to Christ. At this council was the great Pharisaical teacher Gamaliel, perhaps the most widely respected disciple of the rabbinic house of Hillel of his day. He pointed out how many movements like the church had occurred in Judea, and shortly after the death of their founder, had died off. Thus, since Jesus had been crucified, it stand to reason that the church, too, would suffer the same fate. The council was satisfied by this, and after physically beating the apostles, let them go. But the final straw soon occurred. One of the most distinguished Hellenistic members of the church was the deacon Stephen. According to Luke, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, performed many miracles, and had an angelic radiance about his face. One fateful day, he was arrested and brought before the Jerusalem authorities on charges of blasphemy. In his defense, Stephen summed up the entire story of Israel and declared that the authorities were simply following in the footsteps of their disobedient ancestors. Harsh criticism like this between Jews was an ancient religious tradition passed down by the prophets of the Old Testament. Well, just like the prophets before him, this was enough for Stephen to be executed. He was taken outside the city, stripped, and stoned to death. Before he died, Stephen saw heaven and saw Christ standing at the right hand of the Father. Thus Stephen became the first Christian martyr, and the first persecution of the church had begun. It would certainly not be the last. One of the witnesses to Stephen's martyrdom was a zealous and highly well-educated student of Gamaliel, a diaspora Jew named Saul from the city of Tarsus in Asia Minor, the area that is today Turkey. Saul took the lead in this first persecution. The persecution was so brutal that many Christians, especially the Hellenists, fled Jerusalem. The 12 apostles, for their part, remained in the city. This persecution would be a key event in the separation of the church from Judaism. Of the Hellenistic Jews who fled the persecution was the deacon Philip the Apostle. He wound up in none other than the city of Samaria. Samaria and the people of the region were known as Samaritans. They were descendants of the northern Israelite tribes. During the Babylonian captivity, the Samaritans had stayed in the land of Israel and mixed with the Gentile populations brought in by the Mesopotamian empires. As such, the Jews to the south tended to view them as half-breeds. Further events caused separation between the two Israelite groups, which need not detain us here. For their part, the Samaritans did not worship on Mount Zion, but had their own temple on Mount Gerizim. They also had their own version of the Torah. According to the Gospels, Christ himself spoke to the Samaritans, and now it seemed that the Gospel could be seen as a way of unifying these two estranged peoples. Philip preached in the city of Samaria and performed many signs and exorcisms. Many Samaritans believed in Jesus Christ and were baptized by the deacon. The 12 apostles heard this in Jerusalem, and immediately Peter and John went to perform the laying on of hands so the Samaritans might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The importance on church unity and apostolic authority and hierarchy still being very important. Of these Samaritan converts was a man whose name will come to have a long life, Simon Magus, or Simon the Sorcerer. While he believed and was baptized, when he saw Peter perform the rite of laying on of hands, he asked if he could purchase this apostolic power. Hence, to this day, the act of attempting to buy ecclesiastical offices is known as simony. Peter strongly rebuked him and called Simon to repent. Simon seems to have taken Peter's words to heart and asked for the chief apostle's intercessory prayer. Well, that is all Luke has to say of him. Later, the early church fathers will regard Simon as the forefather of heresy, especially Gnosticism. Eusebius also describes a second confrontation between Peter and Simon in Rome. But we'll see all that in later episodes. Returning to Philip, the apostolic deacon, the Holy Spirit directed him to evangelize an Ethiopian eunuch in Gaza. Philip found the eunuch reading the book of Isaiah and trying to interpret it. He asked the eunuch if he could understand the prophet's writings, to which the eunuch responded that without someone explaining it to him, he could not. In an early example of apostolic exegesis, Philip showed the eunuch how Isaiah 53 was speaking of Jesus Christ, after which the eunuch believed and was baptized by Philip. Now after this, here Luke reports a strange instance where the Holy Spirit apparently teleported Philip to Ashdod up north, after which he preached in Caesarea Maritima. The story of the Ethiopian eunuch is significant for a couple reasons. Some have suggested he was the first Gentile Christian, although he very well may have been an East African Jew. Ethiopia, in particular, was a place of peculiar interest and fascination in the Jewish world, as far back as the Old Testament. This event is also the first connection between Christianity and ancient Ethiopia, which would eventually become one of the earliest Christian kingdoms in the history of the Church. But we'll see all that in some much later episodes. We have now arrived at a crucial turning point in early church history, the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, better known to us today as Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles. It is also a change of pace for our podcast as well. Up until now, I've been largely relying on Luke's Acts of the Apostle. With the conversion of Paul, the epistles he wrote will be another main set of primary sources. Paul will not only take center stage in Luke's account, but his additional letters make him undoubtedly the best documented of the apostles, allowing new details to be added to our story. Around 34 AD, Saul received the sanction of the high priest to persecute the Christians in Damascus. As he was on the road to the city, a light from heaven came down on him. In his epistles, Paul relates how he saw the glorious risen Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord spoke to him, saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Speaking of his body, the church. Saul asked him who he was, and Christ declared he was Jesus of Nazareth. After this divine encounter, Paul was left blind. His fellow travelers led him to Damascus, where, according to Luke, 3 days later the disciple Ananias was directed by Christ himself to perform the laying on of hands, after which Paul received the Holy Spirit, along with his eyesight. Next episode, we will cover Saul's early ministry and reception by the apostles in Jerusalem. And most importantly, we shall discuss the first major controversy of the Christian church, what has variously come down to us as the circumcision controversy, leading to the first church council and the first Christian heresy. Thank you for listening. Please comment, rate, and subscribe. And be sure to check out the website at historyoftheearlychurch.wordpress.com.